here's a story from The World.
Staying in Beirut, let us turn to Fatima al-Mahmoud. She's a senior editor at Beirut.com. When I spoke with her this morning, she told me she's emotionally scarred but physically doing okay.
Beirut looks like a ghost town, truly. It's the destruction is everywhere. You know, yesterday when the explosion happened, we were still sort of processing the shock. But waking up today, it was just a completely different scene. Like we had to face the reality of what happened last night. And it's just destruction everywhere. It reeks of death, literally.
Where were you when the blast happened?
When the blast happened, I was at home. It's just a few minutes away from the Beirut port. The building was swaying, but this is still considered like minor impact compared to what people are going through.
I understand you were with your 12-year-old brother. How did he cope during this event yesterday?
He's in a shock. He's still in shock. At the moment, he was just looking around, like looking at me like, what's happening? What is this? Before we knew it was a blast, when we just heard the explosions and felt like that gush of air and we heard the glass shattering, people yelling, he was completely in shock. My first instinct was just to grab him and run into the safest place in the house, the corridor, you know, where there's no glass, nothing breakable, basically.
What did you think had happened? I mean, and how were you explaining this to your younger brother?
First, I was like, an old building collapsed in our neighborhood because we have a lot of like those old traditional homes. And then we're like, when we heard the second sound, we're like, earthquake. And then we heard the explosion. We're like, oh my God, this is war. So it took us a while to sort of process that, okay, it was an explosion at the port. And we still had no idea like of the impact because we were at home. But then following up with the news, hearing about all the casualties, the injured, you know, the missing people, like, I literally have no words to describe.
Aside from each other, who are the Lebanese counting on for help and what are the most immediate needs?
Basically, they're just counting on civil society for help, and they're counting now on international aid and international help. Urgent needs include medical assistance and medical aid because our hospitals are overflowing with patients. So urgent needs definitely go to our medical sector first. And then people, of course, they need homes. I mean, the homeless basically need homes, clothes. These people, like, their homes are destroyed. They've lost all their belongings. So all forms of help are welcome, really.
I mean, for years, Beirut residents have taken pride in their city, but also have wondered how much distressed living they can take. So is this horrific event going to be a turning point? Are you hearing today people already saying, I've had enough, I need to leave Beirut?
Definitely, definitely. You know, Lebanese people are known for their, like, love-hate relationship with Lebanon. I mean, I, for one, I graduated 2 years ago. I'm one of the few people who are employed, but the situation recently has made me consider, you know, immigration, leaving the country. But at the same time, I don't feel like I'm making the choice of leaving. I feel like I'm forced to leave. And I think that's the case for many, many people. Like, we love our country, we love our people, we love our culture, our food. You know, there's so much to take pride in. But at the same time, we can't keep fooling ourselves. We can't keep living in denial. The situation is very, very bad. And it's either you run for it or you fight for it.
Fatima al-Mahmoud, senior editor at Beirut.com, speaking with us from Beirut. Fatima, thank you very much for your time. A lot of people are thinking about you and your city today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
From PRX.